He became what I was so I can become what he is. A son. Firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8. Predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Problem is, we relate to what we grew up being. We relate to what we were taught our whole lives. And we think our life before him is normal. Our life before him is a perversion. It's a twist. It's not how God made us. It's what we became through sin, through the fall, through Adam. And the Bible says every man was born into Adam, and you must be born. We turn born again into a prayer that takes us to heaven. Born again's a transformation of my life. It's a brand new way. It's a putting off of the old and the putting on of the new. It was, I used to get mad at you and I'd rather tell you off or slap you down or ignore you. And now I have compassion for you. In that old life, you determined how well I was doing. And as well as it was going is as well as I was doing. But in this new life, he determines how well I'm doing. And that's pretty good. So that was a hard one to talk about. You're going to lose me. I'm going to. Because see, I was impressed with this worship service on the heels of what took place. And as soon as Pastor mentioned the vigil, five people burst out in tears. Man, we're not here disregarding loss and the feelings of people in our community. We're just keeping our eyes on the answer and the hope of the world. Come on. And we understand there's a real sense of loss. And we understand that physical loss is real. But it doesn't stop with physical loss. And what separates people that believe and people that don't believe is the fear of death. Now listen to me carefully. It's the fear of death. It's why people are saying, I need God. It's why people are knocking on doors. It's why people, this stuff is so real. It's so in your face. It's so final. It's so out of the blue. It's just all of a sudden, boom, we got a tragedy in our backyard and people are dying and it could have been anyone. And folks that don't know him and have a true sense of faith and believing don't know how to process and handle death. It's called the fear of the bondage of death. And Hebrews 2 says that you and I were held captive our whole life by the fear of the bondage of death. But he has made us free. So here's the key. We're never going to die. Now, I'm serious about this. And I'm not making light of physical death. And I'm not making light of the sorrow in families that lost a loved one. Who's ready to lose a loved one? We're never ready. Grandma's 93 and we'd rather her be 94. Come on. She's 101 and we're going, woohoo, believing for 102. Be real with me. Physical loss is real. We love one another. We have emotions. We have affections for one another. It's good to look in the eyes of loved ones. When they're gone, we can't do that. But see, faith is something way bigger than that physical connection. Faith sees a way bigger picture than the loss right now. And faith lives for that day, lives for that reward, lives for that truth. Paul talked about it in Thessalonians. He said, in the face of death, we aren't those that don't understand and believe. We're not going to grieve in an undue manner, meaning excessively to where it controls us and decides us. We're not going to grieve in an undue manner like the pagans who have no covenant or understanding and grieve as if we have no hope. That's why that worship service was fitting tonight. And then the tears at the vigil was just amazing. It showed me maturity in this house and an understanding of what's going on. It really blessed me. More than you know. We okay so far? Listen, it's the fear of the bondage of death. Now listen, our lives are on purpose. Young and old alike, we're here for a reason. You're not here because a man went into a woman someday. You're here because God saw your day. He said, let us make man in our image. So the purpose of man on the earth is the image of God. Your created value is his image. Your created purpose is his image. Come on. Colossians 3 says that we're to put off the old man and his deeds and put on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Who's the new man? His image. What's love? Takes no record of the wrongs. It's selfless. It's not selfish at all. Love takes no record of the wrong done to it. Love doesn't seek its own. Now, how many of us have gotten busted up our whole lives by stuff? Why? The image got perverted when man ate the tree. And the day you eat the tree is the day you surely die. Adam didn't fall dead, church. What died? The image. Who he was lost through sin. And Adam became no identity, lost concerning his created value. And he didn't just sin, he took on the nature of God's enemy and became completely self-centered, self-focused, self-protecting, self-defending, self-justifying, self-dependent. Jesus comes and says, if anyone, I love that, if who? Anyone, that means everybody's invited. If anyone come after me, let him first. What's first on the list? Let him first what? Oh my goodness, deny himself. He didn't say let him pray a prayer and assure his names in a book called Life. He said if any man comes, let him first deny himself. Why? It's the perversion. It's the problem. The devil's not even the problem. He just works with what we give him. It says if you keep yourself, he touches you not. Jesus said the ruler of this world cometh and he touches me not. Come on, he ain't ready to run me over like a freight train or a Mack truck on the highway. Jesus is in me and I'm not for sale. Come on. Come on. I denied myself. That means I didn't wake up for me. That means I woke up for his great name and for you. Yeah? Come on. Come on. What made us so angry? What made us so disappointed? What made us so discouraged in our lives? Weigh in how everything was affecting me in the moment. And you can go to church and sing Holy is the Lamb with both hands high and still have that perspective and live up and down in the Lord. Oh, I'm getting ready to. Thanks for the encouragement. Come on, are you hearing? Come on. This house has something so good going on. You don't want it diluted. You don't want it toned down. You want to be a part of it. You want to run the race. You don't just want to hang out here and get trapped finding your identity because you're a part of the way. You find your identity because Christ is in you and you're surrendered to him. And you're not for sale. Amen. If you cheered that loud when I said that for me, you ought to cheer that loud for you. Yeah. Come on, guys. Man, you're so easy to talk to. You guys are sitting ducks, man. You would be anyway. Because I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm just not afraid. Because I'm never going to die. What's the worst you could do to me? Yeah. Think about it. It's what separates believers from unbelievers. And it's very important in this hour that the church gets a hold of the revelation. That we love not our own lives unto death. No matter what living this life on this earth cost us, we're going to live it in his name, stand before him one day and not be ashamed. We're not going to turn tail. We're not backing up. Hebrews 10, we're not those that draw back. We don't draw back into discouragement, despair, disappointment, hopelessness. Why? Because that's where we were before he came. We're not going back to that place. Why? Because that's a place of destruction. We're those that move forward believing, believing to the saving of the soul, to where the mind and the will and the emotions and the perspective and the reason for being stays healthy and strong in the face of it all. Are you with me? Come on. We're fighting the good fight of, and faith is the perspective you're living by. He's not talking about believing for stuff. He's not talking about believing for a new car, believing for a new job, believing for a higher pay. He's talking about a perspective you live by. And if the eye is single, whole body's flooded with light. Doesn't say unless, of course, you just got laid off. It says if you see clear, you'll live clear. Because see, even if you just got laid off, your prayer and declaration won't be fear and despair. And God, you know I have bills and now you're losing sleep. And you can't raise your hands in worship till you get a new job. And you're on four prayer chains and at the altar. And now, I'm not being sensitive. I'm being real. Let me talk to you. You get laid off and you say, Father, I didn't see this coming. I didn't want this to happen. I really like that job. But as quick as the door closed, I know one will open. Because I'm in covenant with you and you love me. And I ain't losing my joy. I ain't losing my heart. I'm going to shine. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to have favor with God and favor with men. And probably end up with something better than you had. Why? Because you're not loving your own life unto death, and it's not about you. It's about His great name. And your disposition and your attitudes and your responses in life matter a whole lot to the world around you. Come on, guys. This is the joy of Christianity. Living sanctified, not being trapped in the same old mindsets and emotional makeup that we grew up with. Not being trapped, but being called out of darkness into the light. Come on, we always think it means not doing the same old bad stuff we were doing. What about not thinking the same way and being motivated by the same things? Being driven by lies. Come on, don't you feel sorry for yourself? That precious young lady told her story up there. You see why it's not fair to say, well, you don't know what I've been through, because you might not have been through that. And the truth is, somebody else was through more than she was. So bless her heart, whoever she is, wherever she is, if she's in this room, for not standing up there and letting her story be who she is. She said, look, this is what I've been through, but she shared it in a triumph, in a victory, in a change of life. I forgive my father. I pray him for my father. Woo! That's Jesus! Say, forgive your father. Well, do you know what he did? Hello, girl. Reality check. Do you remember what he did? You better be glad God didn't take that approach towards your life. Come on. We doing all right? He told me to preach. Listen, we got to get this. We got to camp on this. We're alive for the image of God. Do you call this night like unity night or something? Is that what I heard you say? Well, this is perfect then. Because see, the unity of faith doesn't necessarily mean everybody completely believing, completely believing, completely believing the same theological precept. Because Paul said some can believe one day's different than the rest. Another can believe every day's the same. But whatever they believe, they got to do it unto the Lord. And God will make them stand and stop judging each other over it and trying to change each other. So then what is the unity of faith? Is everybody liking the same music? Is it everybody liking the same beat? Is it everybody liking the same? Here's the unity of faith. When all the diversity that I'm looking at in this room with giftings, callings, potential, and destiny, it's ridiculous in this room how much diversity is in this room. In this much diversity, that's not divisive, divisionary. It means we all have different forces of grace and calling and desires and burnings. But watch this. We all wake up for the same reason. His image. We all wake up to love. And you go ahead and you take care of them homeless. And you go ahead and take care of them elderly. And you go ahead and love on them kids. And you go ahead and you lead worship and multiply people in worship. And you do whatever's burning in your heart. But do it for that reason. That in every way you shine and you look like Him. And that when people see you, they get a good look at your Father. And all of a sudden, you threw away bad attitudes. You threw away grumbling and complaining. You threw away all about me and I feel and well, how come and that ain't. Because Jesus didn't teach us that. We were homeschooled in the wrong home. And from the time we were born, we were taught by a lie. You didn't have to take a course on anger and pass. You already passed. Because you were thinking for you as far back as you can remember. And you had no identity. You were trying to fit in, be accepted, be valued, and seek reputation. Everyone in the room knows exactly what I'm talking about. And people get hurt in that arena, broken in that arena, and rock hard in that arena. Everybody in this room was born into Adam. It's a loss of identity. The image is gone. That's why Jesus was beat, according to Isaiah 52, beyond description. He was marred more than any of the sons of men. That means scripturally that when they were done thumping Jesus with them clubs and their fists and all the stuff they beat him with, you couldn't tell who he was. He didn't look like Jesus, if he even looked like a man. Marred more than any of the sons of men. That means when they were done beating Jesus, he looked worse at the hands of men than any man ever has at the hands of men. Now you think of the sadistic, barbaric things people have done to one another. And it says Jesus came out looking worse. Why? Why did he have to lose his appearance? Why did he have to lose his visage? Why did he have to become unrecognizable on the cross? Because there's a parallel. He's paying for something. When sin got done with man in the garden, he didn't look anything like he was created to be. So Jesus lost his appearance to get our identity and value back. Now that's love. Because he didn't do nothing wrong. But guess what? He knows you're worth his life. Now see, nobody preached that to me when I was growing up. You're not failure waiting to happen. You're sons and daughters in the making. Come on. This love of God thing, man. I love your heart up there. Oh, just want to run up and hug you and distract things. But I said, I can't. You were on it, man. You were just so sincere and real. I thought, I love this place. I just like it. I didn't have to preach. I was having fun. But now that I'm preaching, don't take the mic from me yet, okay? It just feels right. This love thing. You know, Jesus loves you. God loves you. God loves you. I hear it all the time, and I've heard it my whole life. But people don't understand it. They're like, well, God loves me, but you don't know what I've done. And, oh, it's all right. And all of a sudden, if we're not careful as teachers and leaders, we're teaching this mysterious love. Like God just has this strange, unique ability to see past everything. It has nothing to do with the love of God. Here's the love of God. God never took his eyes off of the purpose of man. On your darkest day, he knows what you're here for. On your most willful adventure, he says, that ain't you. You have destiny. You have purpose. You have potential. And I know what you look like when I'm in you and you're surrendered, and that's worth paying for. This thing is not a permission slip to stay the same. It's a reason to be changed. Grace changes you. Grace doesn't empower you to stay the same. Grace changes you. You're saved by grace through faith. And you believe that your life has a greater destiny than your past actions and decisions. And you get before the Lord and humble yourself before Him. He starts giving you vision and wisdom and understanding and empowerment. A brand new mind and a brand new heart. Next thing you know, you're looking through the eyeballs of God. The eyeballs of truth. And all of a sudden you see different than you ever saw before. It's called Christianity. And all of a sudden you're not mad at folks like you used to be. You're feeling this mercy and compassion thing because you're realizing if they knew who they were, they wouldn't be living what they're living. If they knew who they were, they wouldn't be saying what they're saying. And your days of taking them personal are over because you gave up your life and denied yourself, remember? Or maybe you just got religious and bought into the lie and prayed a prayer to get a blessing. Or maybe you became changed. Maybe you gave up what was never yours, so you could become what you were in the first place. Oh, I'm preaching right now, man. The only thing Jesus is asking us to give up is what we never were anyway. He never created you for you. He created you for His image. You don't put metal in a microwave. Read the manufacturer's handbook. You put metal in a microwave, you'll destroy the product. You read this manufacturer's handbook right here. You don't live for yourself. You will ruin the destiny of the product. Come on, you squeeze an orange, you expect orange juice. You know that in California. You got them things growing on the streets. You squeeze an orange, you expect orange juice. Pastor Robert, if it was apple juice, it would be weird. Why isn't it weird when you squeeze a Christian and get everything but Christ? That ought to be weird. Maybe the devil thinks he knows something. Maybe he thinks he knows that people don't really love God. They need God. They just want what God can do for them. They don't want how God can make them more like Him. They just want the blessing. They just want the breakthrough. They just want the favor. They just want the provision. But what about His nature? What about His heart? What about His love that changes the world? Do you just need more stuff, or do you need more of Him flowing through you? We're called lights that are to shine. We're not just to be full barns and full vats. We're lights fully lit. Come on. Your community isn't just blessed by your blessing. Your community's blessed by your love. By you being unoffendable and unoffended. Sincere till the day of Christ without offense. It's in your Bible. It's possible. Come on, Jesus didn't say, sing to me and pray to me when things are tight. He said, follow me. And if you couldn't, He wouldn't invite you in. Oh, man, I am preaching, man. It's going to get even more. You guys are getting this. I feel it in the room. You guys, yeah. Come on, you're the steward of your heart. Don't just let this be an exciting night. Don't just let this be a zealous night or, wow, that was interesting and fun. No, no, I'm talking to you, friend, to your heart. And you're the steward of your heart. And what you do with what you hear tonight is between you, God, and your conscience. And the just shall live by faith. And here's the good news. Nothing I'm saying is condemning or beating you down. It's telling you who you are and exposing who you're not. Because see, that other thing ain't producing life. It's just giving you reasons and justifications to be less than Him. And you say, well, I wouldn't be where I was if it wasn't for this or what. This and this isn't Lord. Why are you letting it govern your life and dictate who you are? You say, well, brother, you don't know what I'm going through. See, you're not a product of what you're going through. You're a product of what He went through so that you can rightly discern this. So when people do you wrong, you respond like Him, not like you used to be. When people treat you unfair, you don't have issues. You have the gospel. You don't need counseling. You don't need a prayer meeting. You don't need a prayer list. My boss isn't treating me right. I feel so defiled. I need a new job. No, you need a greater revelation. Your boss shouldn't have the power to defile you and beat you down and make you angry and get you a new job. You're supposed to shine and be a light to your boss. Not pull out on your boss and save yourself. Because if you were dead to yourself, He wouldn't bother you so bad. You'd cry for Him, not because of Him. You'd cry for Him. Come on, I'm preaching right now. Come on. So what happened? Adam, he ate the tree. So Jesus hung on that tree. Not that tree, but a tree. And then hanging on a tree is cursed by God. He didn't curse His son. He made His son to be sin. He put on the tree what was killing us. so sin shall have no dominion over us. He cursed sin in the flesh. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. Yeah. He bore in his body our sins, so that we, having died to sin, might live to be found right in the sight of God. And by his stripes, we are healed. Come on, that's the gospel. Somehow we've turned it into blessings in heaven. Come on, we're not waiting to go to heaven someday. Heaven wants to get back in us. The kingdom of God's here. Preach saying it's here. It's not coming, it's here. Where is it? It's in you. Oh, don't you let the kingdom get suppressed by a lack of understanding. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Proverbs 4 says, in all you're getting, not some. All you're getting, get understanding. You grew up hearing what you don't know won't hurt you. What a lie from hell.
Well, what you don't know won't hurt you.
What you don't know is destroying you.
Well, it'd be nice if it would happen, but I wouldn't get my hopes up.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is the anchor of your soul passing through the veil into his presence. And you grew up hearing, don't get your hope up. The Bible says, get it sky high. I bet we've been taught by a different language. Well, what you see is... See, they talked like that in San Bernardino. That language made its way the whole way over here. You knew the end of that one. What you see is... The Bible says, son, don't you ever live by what you see. What you see is subject to change. The things unseen, eternal. And yet you grow up here and what you see is what you get.
Well, you made your bed. You need to go ahead and lie in it.
No, he made me a brand new one. The sheets are clean and I sleep good. Woo! I ain't reaping what I sowed. I'm reaping what he sowed. Woo! You know what qualifies you for that? Simple repentance. Changing your mind. Wishing you'd have did different. Saying, man, even tonight, man. This man's tearing me up right now with some things. I've been this. I've been thinking that. This ain't productive. Wow. Ooh. Ah. That's repentance. Man. It's that simple. It's not boo-hoo, I'm sorry. Repentance isn't ooh. Repentance. You could cry in sincerity. But here's repentance. Duh. What was I thinking? No more. And in your heart, no more. I'm done. I'm done with that. I'm done being offended. I'm done just being so sold out, so cheap when I'm not even for sale. Letting things bother me. Just letting how it's going determine how I'm doing. Without realizing and making it all about me and what I'm going through and what's happening in my life. And you ask a Christian, how you doing? They tell you their two biggest challenges and say, keep me in prayer. Happens all the time. And it proves we don't understand who we are. I'm just telling you. You guys are getting this. I can see it in your faces. And you look a whole lot better than a lot of congregations. When I talk like this in churches, it looks like a deliverance meeting. They're like. I'm like, whoa. You guys are just like, just, come on, this thing is real. It's what faith is. So do we believe? Are we believers? Are we getting understanding? Are we going to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Jesus? So what's that mean? If I deny myself, it empowers me to pick up my cross. What's pick up your cross? Did Jesus deserve to die? Did he do anything wrong? Did he let people change who he was? Is he still changing people? It's carrying your cross. You never let sin against you give the right to produce sin in you. You never repay evil for evil. You always overcome evil with good. Your war is never flesh and blood. You fight the good fight of faith. You don't make people the enemy. You let love cover a multitude of sin and mercy triumph over judgment. You tone down a harsh word with a kind word. They're all scriptures. Carry your cross. Don't find one reason to be less than his image, or you'll sell yourself cheap, and you'll assure tomorrow's always yesterday. And you'll look back and be Lot's wife instead of his. They told me to preach. It's that man's fault. Come on, you're getting this. Look, you got to guard your heart, because out of your heart flows the issues of life. It's Proverbs. You guard your heart. Everything's after your heart. Everything's trying to own you, manipulate you, and buy you out. You're not your own. Your life's not your own. You gave yourself to him. And you say, well, I didn't totally know that when I came in. You know it now. Well, I came in just to get my marriage back. I came in just to get my... I get what you're trying to say, but that ain't why you come in. God's so merciful. He'll still fix the stuff we broke, but he wants to transform your life. Now listen, here's a good thought. I'm not a Christian for me. I'm not a Christian for me. I'm a Christian for his image, and I'm a Christian for you. Do you know that's why I'm here? Do you know I don't have to be here? Do you know I'm not mandated to be here? You know God didn't save you. You know I didn't come here so you pay my bills next month? See, pastor doesn't know this. He knows this because I just told him, because he handed me that little financial form back there. I said, no. I said, listen, this is a family visit. Jesus brought me here. I bought my own plane ticket. I'm not taking a penny when I leave here. Whatever honorarium you would have given me, feed the hungry or something. You get it? This isn't a business deal. This isn't a contract. This isn't a way of living. It's not my career. We're the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. So they're being gracious. They're handing me that little thing back there for my EIN number. And I said, no, we ain't going there. It's been on my heart all day. The Lord said, don't from this church. And it's not that I don't understand the beauty and power of giving. And if you had a heart to give, God won't rob you of your heart. And he'll treat you as if you gave. But the key is, I'm making a statement here. This thing ain't about finances. It's about his image. It's about love. I didn't come here on no contract. I asked to stay with folks. I bought him lunch today because I wanted to. And he was happy because I took him to Outback. And he said, thank you, Jesus. Shabba. And he did all that. Are you guys with me? This is family. Look, I'm here because I want to be. I'm not here because I have to be. There's just something about that we need to understand. If I'm here and it's about finances and an account, and I need a certain amount of honorarium, and I hope you give this up front and let me take 3 more offerings. Bah! Look, whether that's right or not, men are going to have to decide, but that's not in my heart. What's in my heart is, your region matters. And not just because of what happened 2 days ago. We had this scheduled way before that. I said I'd come way before that. Why? Because I knew you'd be here. So wonder if I really do believe what I'm preaching. And I believe it's worth flying out here and crying out to you. Wonder if I really do believe that Pastor Marco is a man of God and he's sowing good seed. And I might just water something he's been planting. Wonder if I honestly believe that out of the mouths of 2 or more, every word is confirmed and established. And wonder if this weekend's really about the kingdom. Wonder if I actually believe you're worth the blood of Jesus. Wonder if I didn't come here to set you straight. Wonder if I came here to tell you who you are. So you don't leave here saying, boy, I got a long way to go. No, you leave here with fire in your heart saying, man, I got a light on the trail. I got direction. I got vision. Things are making sense. I'm coming through. You get it? See, we've been taught to hearing condemnation. Boy, I don't know if I'm even saved. I don't know. If what you're thinking isn't building you up, it ain't coming from the Holy Ghost. If what you're believing isn't producing life, it's not Jesus talking. It's an old analytical mindset or a lying devil. But it ain't the Lord. And if what you're thinking isn't ramping you up and encouraging you, making you whistle while you work, then you either got your eyes on yourself or you're believing a lie. And I'm telling you, I've learned this. Don't nobody get offended at me. We've had too much fun so far. Because it don't matter anyway, because it's not going to change me. So don't put yourself through that. See, people in the church talk about getting emotionally abused. You can only emotionally abuse somebody that doesn't know who they are. And I understand things are tough and tight in situations and marriages and families and homes. But I know more about what I'm talking about than you have any idea. And I'm telling you that you can only emotionally abuse somebody that doesn't know who they are. You try to emotionally abuse me. You'll get emotionally abused. Because I know who I am. See, I want to be friends, and I talk from a pure place, but how you choose to receive me doesn't change me. Like, the whole room could walk out and say, whatever, I still know him. I'm still going to have his peace in my heart tonight. He's going to talk to me on that bed they gave me to sleep on. I'm going to wake up and be his boy, and ain't nobody can do nothing about it. There's a power in having more than a doctrine. You ain't here to just serve a doctrine. You're here to know him and be one with him and have fellowship with him. And once you know him, woohoo, it's over, man. It's too late. It's too late. I'm no good for debate. I've seen too much. I just haven't seen enough. But I'm way past debate, and I will not sit at a lunch table and argue doctrine. You will never see the day. I'm having too much fun. You say, well, God doesn't heal everybody. And God, and you're so busy complaining and fussing and arguing that you ain't even praying for nobody anymore. And you're the one being robbed. So maybe you're not seeing everybody healed. Maybe I'm not seeing everybody healed. But I've seen a whole bunch healed just in the last few weeks. So we're going somewhere. We ain't debating over it. We're getting our hands on folks. You know why a lot of folks don't pray for the sick? They're afraid nothing will happen. That's a self-centered motive right there. They don't want to be in that position. Now watch. They don't pray for the sick because they're afraid nothing will happen, so they get what they're afraid of by not praying. So how much sick are you seeing healed by not praying for the sick? And guess why you're not praying for them? Because you're afraid nothing will happen, so you already get nothing because of fear. Guess what the believer does? Lays hands on the sick. That's before healing. Just get your hand on somebody. Let's just go. Let's just get in the car and go and get hands on somebody. Forget about the healing just for a second. The believer lays hands on the sick. The fact that we don't sometimes proves we're not sure what we believe. And everything flows through faith. And just because we pray the right prayer doesn't mean we believe what we're praying. The evidence of faith isn't praying to a mountain, it's the mountain moving. So until the mountain moves, let's not turn faith into a point in time that's camping what we believe until our life looks like Jesus's. It's so simple. Be real with me, we turn faith into a point in time. We pray. Look with their eyes, think with their mind, and then pray again. And then we pray from another perspective, and then we wave another flag, and then we blow the shofar in another tune. I know what we do. I've been around enough to know. And now we're caught into works and we're being driven by what's not happening instead of who we are in Him. And we turn faith into a point in time or a hit, miss, win, or lose. Instead of a position of our heart to believe what He accomplished. We're rooted and grounded in love, guys. And faith works through love. Come on. How can you be rooted and grounded in love? Because Christ came and was crucified. Christ crucified is the measuring stick of God loving you. It's not whether your car's running right or your spouse is acting good or your job's going well. Countless Christians have weighed those things and cried and said, God, where are you? I thought you loved me. Trapped in a self-centered view and don't even realize what they're doing because it's not evil intended. It's deception. And now it's all about them and their little world. And now God's even getting judged and challenged in His love because of their circumstances. And people say, we ask the wrong questions because they're self-centered questions. We say, well, if God loved me, then how come and then why? And if God really loved me, then? Here's my question. Because didn't Jesus always ask a question when they ask a question from the wrong place? He said, let me ask you a question. Jesus is awesome. They'll come and say, well, teacher. And He'll say, let me ask you a question. When He perceived it came from the wrong place, He asked them a question. So here's what I would say to those questions. Maybe we asked the wrong questions. If God wasn't good, if He wasn't good, and if He didn't love you, why would He send His Son while you're yet a sinner? So maybe we're looking in the wrong place. Maybe there's someone out there accusing. Maybe there's a spirit on the earth that's accusatory. Maybe that spirit accuses the brethren to God. And maybe he accuses God to the brethren to keep a little rift going. So we don't have as much a covenant as we think. Maybe we just have a genie in a bottle, a whim in a prayer, a busboy, a caretaker. All of a sudden your rent's paid and you got two hands high and they can't keep you from dancing. Next month, you don't know where the money's coming from. You can't get your hands up. That proves something, that you don't understand relationship. That you're coming to God for what He can do for you instead of who He is. Come on. Remember that servant boy in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus got taken and captured and took to Pilate? Remember Peter got zealous and whacked his ear? Malchus took his ear right off. What did Jesus do? He didn't say, well, boy, you're running with the wrong crowd. See? Bad company corrupts good morals. Reaping a little bit of what you're sowing there, young man, probably ought to come over and cross the line and get over here in the kingdom. He didn't pick up his ear and entice him and use his need to draw him to God. Come on, sir. Come across the line. Perhaps God will restore a few things in your life. See, because if he evangelizes based on his need, he teaches him to come to God for what God can do for him instead of come to God for the beauty of who he is. So Jesus' idea of evangelism is this. He looks at his own church, his own person that represents him, doesn't say a word to Malchus. He looks at his own disciple and says, Peter, what are you doing? If you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. What, am I not going to drink the cup my father's prepared for me? Peter, what's he saying to Peter? Peter, you hung out with me all this time and you're still acting like them and coming from the place they come from. What are you doing fighting like them? That ain't how we fight. And the whole time he's correcting him, he's fixing the ear of what looks like the enemy. Because he's not the enemy. He's made for God's image. And Jesus is the image of God revealed. So he didn't rebuke him. He fixed him. Never said a word to him in your Bible. Rebuked his disciple for acting like them. And got handcuffed, or wrapped up and tied up, beaten, struck, and took away. Now you put yourself in Malchus' shoes. He just had an ear missing. He got blood all over his shirt. There ain't no way he doesn't. He's got... You men ever nick your... Just around your nose shaving. Do you ever just nick your nose? I said, I have fun with that. I said, man, you could fill a Red Cross bag if you just hook it up there. It just keeps bleeding. Just bleeds. And you wipe it and you got Kleenexes piled up in the garbage with 10 different blood spots on them. And you look at it and it's a tiny little... It's that cartilage. There's so many blood vessels. You just one little nick and it's... You're going to bleed out. I'm not being exaggerating. Who knows what I'm talking about? Just bleed and bleed and bleed. Do you ever get your ear cut or something? And just bleed and bleed. He got his ear cut off. That's a... Now he don't have no ear cut off. He's just as fine as you and me. But he got blood everywhere. Now you imagine that. Jesus is messing folks up in a good way. They're like, Malchus, are you okay? What, yeah? How, what, where are you bleeding from? How'd you get all that blood? That guy that was running with the guy we're beating, he cut off my ear. And the guy we're beating yelled at him for doing it and fixed my ear. What do you do with that? Like, he's following them and they're whacking Jesus and he's like, here's my point. You can reprimand him all day long and you might not get through. But how can you run from that kind of love? See, it doesn't say the reprimand of God changes men's lives. It says the goodness of God leads men to repentance. It means change. And misunderstanding, people say, well, it's the judgment of God. Stop. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Now, we haven't found a way to sin and get away with it. We found a way to be free from it. We put off the identity of sin. We put on the identity of acceptance and sonship and righteousness. And watch, every day we wake up, Father, I thank you for the gift called life. I thank you it's not a dread, not a burden. Thank you I'm not here to survive. I'm here to shine. And I thank you that you're empowering me to leave an example and touch my sphere of influence today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for keeping me fixed and focused without trying too hard, projecting, or biting my lip to evangelize. Thank you that my life touches folks. Come on. Now you tell me that we can't live that way. If we're willing, grace will empower us. If you wake up every morning and give your heart to it, that sure beats complaining when the alarm goes off, waking up, feeling how your body feels, and saying, oh man, here we go again. God, I don't even know how I'm getting through. I need prayer. And all of a sudden, we're just ministry-crazed people without relationship, living by our feelings, hoping to feel better. Instead of faith-filled people empowered by the Spirit of God. I understand sometimes your body ain't feeling like getting it going. That's when you sit up in bed and say, Father, I so thank you. My life is not my own and you're the one that empowers me. And I'll tell you what, my body don't feel right now, but you changed my attitude. You've changed my mindset. I think life is a gift. It ain't a dread. I ain't here to survive. I'm here to shine and you're going to empower me. You might all of a sudden forget about your body. You might get up and you'd be feeling it. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because you fixed your eyes on him. Also, truth making you free. Come on, we call this other stuff prayer. Most of it's a complain session. We just wake up, oh man, feels like it's going to be one of them days. I need to call Sally. She's going to pray me through. She's a prayer warrior. No, you're supposed to be in fellowship with God. You're just living by your feelings and you want her to pray for you on the surface so you feel a little better. But if you don't change your mentality, you'll never be free. Come on. Be real with me. Can I quote Philippians 2 for you? It talks about Jesus He made himself of no reputation. We're supposed to have the same mind that he had who made himself of no reputation. We sought reputation our whole lives. Some of us are in church and still wanting to be noticed. The reason you can't give everybody one of these mics is because some people want it too bad. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. That's why you can't have open mic services. And if you do, you got to have strong leadership to make sure it's clean. And then people get offended because they got cut off. And the reason they're offended is because they got cut off because the pastor was right. Or they wouldn't be offended. See, we don't get it. Oh my goodness. I gotta wrap this thing up. You guys are just too easy, man. You're too much fun. You guys are fun. You really are. You were right, TJ. They're a lot of fun. I know I jumped off my point, but there's so much. You guys got something out of this so far. I feel like, now tomorrow night, when I'm here tomorrow night, is it the same folks going to pile in here? Is it a different crowd? What is it? Well, I know we got tomorrow morning, but tomorrow night, we'll be at another place. Going to be some new faces, but a lot of the same too. I'm just getting a feel. There's something I want to do, and if I want to, Jesus will tell me no if he don't want me to, but usually he lets me do what I want to do because it's always for the right reasons. So it's called love, loving people. I want to do something tonight. I thought I was going to do it tomorrow night, but I'm going to do it tonight. Do you know why I'm going to do it tonight? You don't know what it is yet, but the reason I'm going to do it tonight is because the reason he sent his son is for our transformation. He wants to make things right. He wants to take away yesterday and give you a brand new day. In the Bible, it says that all things are yours, whether the teachers he's given you, whether life or death, the present or things to come, it's all yours. Guess what's not on the list? The past. It's not yours. He bought it. So we keep saying, yeah, but you don't know what I've been through. You're supposed to be looking at what he's been through because that's the real you. This other thing was a strategy of sin that was trying to take advantage of you and lie to you and hurt you and harden your heart. You get what I'm saying? So my dad, he was alcoholic growing up. He never said I love you to me. He told me I'd never be nothing. I had to pick him up at the bars. He got so bad with cirrhosis, his liver was sticking out to here. He was bleeding out his behind. And he would have to drink a beer and almost throw up to numb himself so he could drink the second one. And his body said, I'm done. And after 2 12-ounce beers, he couldn't walk. When I was a kid, he'd drink a case and I couldn't tell he was drinking. What does any of that have to do with who you're looking at? Why do we make that matter so much when it don't matter most? Do I have to have a loving dad in the natural to receive the love of God? I don't find the love of God necessarily through my dad, I find the love of God through a person named Jesus. He said, Pastor, call no man on earth your father. You have one father. He's in heaven. That doesn't mean disrespect and disregard your father. You're not sinning on Father's Day when you send him a card. What he's saying is don't limit, identify, or regulate your life through natural, hereditary, biological means. Your existence goes back to the beginning. Your father is there in the beginning. The word father there means come forth from. You came forth from him in the beginning. Call no man on earth who you came forth from. You came forth from him. Don't say, well, I have a hard time receiving love of God because I didn't have a loving father. I'm sorry you didn't. I know what you're talking about. But I got a loving father and he proved it through Jesus. Now watch this. Because I wasn't a hurt, hard, and angry guy. My dad saw my life changed. Came out on the front porch crying one day and said, you're a changed man and I'm so proud of you. So I turned on him and said, then what about you, Dad? And I said, my dad got born again because I got saved. Yeah? Woohoo! I got to do this. And I wasn't going to finish Philippians 2, but at the end of Philippians 2, because it's just, it's bombarded me. You don't know how it is when you're up here. I won't quote the whole thing. But the end of Philippians 2, it talks about Jesus making himself no reputation, dying on the cross, obedient to death. Therefore, God raised him above every name, heaven and earth and under the earth, both bow, right? And he is Lord. Name above every name. It's amazing. I have that whole thing rainbowed in my Bible. Right after that, after he magnifies him above every name, he always speaks right to us because he connects us. He says, you therefore. Do you get what I'm saying? It's covenant. Firstborn among many. He exalts Jesus through his humility and says, you therefore. You work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who's working in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. How we made this all about blessings. It's God working in you. You walk this thing out. You walk it out. You don't let anything change your mind. You don't grow weary in well-doing. You don't lose heart. You're going to reap because you're holding on to truth. You ain't letting nothing move you. Come on. We're following Jesus, not just singing to him. He says, you therefore, you work out your own salvation with fear and a reverence towards God because it's God working in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. Man, this is good. Watch. How many of you have a desire for God in this room? Do you know why? No man comes to him unless he's drawn by him. Why would he draw you? Because he wants you and he loves you and he knows who you are. Yeah. He wouldn't draw you if he didn't want you. Work out your own salvation. It's God who works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. Therefore, do all things without murmuring, grumbling, complaining. How many things? See, when you complain, it's a dead giveaway that you haven't given yourself to the first and most important part. You haven't denied yourself. You'd be amazed how far complaining can take you. Next thing you know, you're feeling sorry for yourself. Next thing you know, it's everybody else's fault. Next thing you know is, where's God? I thought he cared. Why'd you let me go through it? Next thing you know, you wonder how you got where you're at. It just started with the ability to complain. God wants to take it out of you through the truth, and he wants you overcome with thankfulness. In the face of heavy adversity, he wants you thankful that you already won. You can't lose. Christ is in you. He sees you righteous. He forgave you of everything. That empowers you to stand and pray in the face of adversity. If you're just trying to survive, you've lost your authority. If you're afraid, you've lost your authority. But if you love not your own life unto death, you overcome. You can't plead the blood and the word of your testimony from the position of fear. It's from the position of selflessness. You're following him. Do all things. How many things? Without grumbling and complaining. Why? So the world sees you as innocent and harmless in the midst of being all twisted up with self-centeredness. They see another way, and it's the way. It says, so that the world sees you harmless and innocent in the midst of a perverse generation, whom you, shining forth as a light, hold forth the word of life. It's Philippians 2. I read it. It's there. It's amazing. It's life-changing. Have this same mind in you that was in him. When he was butchered on that cross, he didn't say a word. He didn't say, I've had enough of this. God, if they hit me with one more club, I'm telling you, they don't appreciate me. I healed all their sick. I've raised their dead. I've fed their hungry bellies. And this is what I deserve? God, if they didn't change by now, they ain't never going to change. I am not dying on that cross. They are not putting them spikes in my hands. I'm done with this. I don't even know why we care about it. That wasn't Jesus. Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. But if I be lifted up, the light of the world, I will draw all men unto me. So he's saying, take a good look at love, because that's the image you were made in. Don't just need me. Don't just sing to me. Follow me. Let me be your model for life. Not just your Savior, but your model for life. Follow me. That's your King, Jesus. Okay, I got to do this. I'm not good with time. But I'm going to be all right tonight. We're coming back in the morning, so I don't need to be super late. Is this my altar ministry? You guys are amazing. That's good. I got you here because I'm going to get a big response tonight for what I'm calling for. Now listen, my altar team here, come up here and get positioned, okay? I need you to look at me, the altar team. I know you've been trained. Pastor won't be upset at this. You won't mind this at all. There's only one thing I need you guys to do tonight. Listen carefully to the altar call. And all I want you doing tonight is praying one thing over these people, okay? It's just be redeemed and be restored. I know there's ministry. I know there's prophetic stuff. I know. Tonight is just going to be a little different because of what I'm... All I need you to do is assure to them that Jesus makes things new. And all you're saying is, be redeemed, be made new, be whole. Be whole works. That's just a good one. Okay? That's all I need out of you. I know you're trained for more. I know God does things through you. I'm not dishonoring that. There's just something about the finished work of Christ and the blood speaking better things that's going to happen in this room. Okay? That it ain't praying hard enough that can make it happen. It's just believing His love. Okay? You all know that your prayers have never healed the sick, right? It's your faith in what He accomplished. Your prayer doesn't heal the sick. It never has, it never will. It's what you believe about what He accomplished, and we just speak into it. When you think it's your prayer, you're trying too hard. And you're going to get self-conscious, and you're going to get into works. And you're going to say everything right according to Scripture without the fruit. And are you guys all right? Okay, these people are going to love you and receive you. I need honesty in this room tonight, okay? You all ready to be honest? Okay, this is going to be a wonderful altar call, okay? I mean, I'm not asking you to get saved tonight. If you're not saved, why not? Just give yourself to Jesus and don't give yourself to yourself. Because you weren't made for you. It's why life's so frustrating. When you're not born again, you blame everything on everybody else. What? Because you're living for yourself. Adam sinned, and God said, did you eat the tree? He said, it's so... What's Adam saying? Hey, don't look at me. If you wouldn't have gave the woman, I probably wouldn't have ate the tree. So the first effect of sin is self-defense and justification. I'm having an altar call for that tonight. This is what I'm having an altar call for. Are we cutting out? Should I turn this off so it don't overlap? Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Lord. That's good. I need your humility tonight, okay? This is going to be really good. God's going to do some things in this room. I see it all the time in my life and ministry. God's given me this revelation a long time ago. And here's the thing. If any man be in Christ, he's what? Y'all know that, don't you? If any man be in Christ, he's a what? Old things... Behold, that's the power of God. Behold, how many? Okay. I've learned this in my life. I've learned that there's people that are changed by the gospel. I've heard that people tell me that they know He forgave them of their sins and they know that He died on a cross. And you look at their life and you can see they're changed. All right? But here's what I've learned. I've learned that many of those people and many of us have made plenty of mistakes. Some of those mistakes, the effect of those mistakes, have carried in to our life in Christ. Let me give you an example. You were promiscuous. You might only had one partner. But that one partner passed something to you. And you were 17. And now you're scared and you're upset. And now you're 21. And you're born again. But when they look at your blood, they say that thing's in there. And I don't like that. Because here's the deal. You're born again. And if you could go back and do it over, you probably would. But you can't. And this is what I learned about the gospel. God won't judge you for where you've been. He'll judge you for what you've become. So if God will never judge you for where you've been, then why is where you've been still judging you? If old things pass away, behold, all things become new. Then that thing that was the old life should die through Christ. Am I right? It says if he reconciled us while we were enemies through the death of his son, much more through his life, he's going to save us from wrath through him. What does mercy triumph over? Judgment. Listen, I've met good folks. They're born again, and they wish they didn't do what they did. I know a lady in my hometown that was a prostitute and a heroin addict. And she would sleep with men and do all kinds of things for men for 20 bucks a pop just to stay high. But guess what? She don't shoot heroin no more. Now guess what? She ain't a prostitute no more. But we got a problem. We got hepatitis C eating her alive. And now she's born again. And her liver's swelling. She's on a transplant list. But she ain't a drug addict. And she ain't a prostitute. And if she could go back and do it over, she would. But she can't. And regret would eat us alive. But godly sorrow leads to change in the heart. What a vindication. What a clearing of yourself. You know what happened to her? She heard this message and said in her heart, wait a minute. I can't die of hepatitis. I can't even have hepatitis. It has no right. I'm a new creature. I'm not a heroin addict. I'm not a prostitute. I don't deserve this. It's not who I am. And guess what happened? Guess what happened? Her swelled liver went down. They ran her blood numbers and tests. She got no hepatitis. Now watch, don't clap yet. Don't clap yet. Watch this. No markers, no evidence. So confusing after 3 doctors or specialists or checkups or clinics that they decided to pull her out of the Hep C file because of the confusion it creates. Because she has no markers or antibodies or nothing. And here's what they said to her. She's one of hundreds. I'm looking you in the eyes. She's one of hundreds I could tell you about. Why? Because his blood speaks better than you. Oh, come on. Guess why they pulled her out of the file? Because it's like she never had it. Guess why it's like she never had it? Because when she stands before God, it's as if she never sinned. And you eat his flesh and you drink his blood and receive life. That's the gospel, girl. Law of the Spirit of life in Christ makes me free from the law of sin and death. I tell this story all the time. I'm going to tell one more story and I'm going to pray for everybody that it fits. Listen, some of you could have just went on a binge one night. You were just mad and you did more than you ever did before. And you know it caught you. You don't concentrate the same. You don't remember the same. You don't think the same. That binge hurt you. You can mark the night where something changed with your concentration. That you're in the room. That's like to me right now. I use it as an example, but right now I see it as a word of knowledge. You don't have the same concentration, the same memory. If you'd be bold, tell me who you are, and you'll say, I know it's when I got extreme and I went over the top and I haven't had the same mind since that. You need to get up here. I'm telling you, God will restore your mind, your memory, your emotions. If you did that to yourself, get up here. Just get in front of one of them. And no, it ain't you anymore. It ain't you. It ain't you. Let Him love you. Let Him receive you. Let Him restore you. Come on. Now listen to me. I'm just going to do this. I ain't even going to tell the story of that lady right now. If you got anything in your blood, anything that ain't right, anything that's carried from a former life, a former mistake, listen, shame, it ain't about shame. There's folks in here that deserve a mark and never got one. There's people that did one thing and got a mark. Come on, we've all sinned and fallen short. But He's here to redeem. If you fit this description, you got hepatitis, you got an STD, you got some in your blood, you got mind stuff, you got nightmares, you got sleeplessness, get up here and say, it ain't who I am.
It's who I am.
Let Him love you, people. I'm so proud of you. Look at me, all of you that are responding. Look at me real quick. Let me ask you something. If you all could go back and make some changes about yesterday, would you? Would you? Would you do something different? Then guess who I'm looking at? Somebody new. You let Him love you tonight. You thank Him. He has forgiven you, sweetheart. It is over. So let's let it be over, spirit, soul, and body. Amen? I'm telling you, He's making things new. If you were a cutter and you cut yourself, 2 weeks ago, I seen a girl was a cutter, arms and legs. At the altar, Jesus took every scar off her body right now. That's one of many I could tell you about. That was just 2 weeks ago. I didn't have an altar call like this last week. But the week before I did, 18-year-old girl, razors and cigarette butts, cutting and burning, and Jesus gave her new skin at the altar. Why? Because she was in a delusional season, hurting her own created value, didn't know what she was doing. Now she's born again and wish she didn't do it, and all she has is regret. And Jesus said, I ain't having it. And He took it all away. It's very important for you to just all receive the love of God right now and thank God He loves you and forgives you. As they touch you and say, be redeemed. You don't have to spend a lot of time with them. Just touch them. Be redeemed. Be made whole. Be restored.